In a few minutes, what one big bank is trying to address structural racism. I'm David Brancaccio. On Tuesday mid-afternoon, the President of the United States communicated this about a comprehensive pandemic relief spending package his Treasury Secretary and the Speaker of the House were working on. Via social media, Trump wrote, "I have instructed my representatives to stop negotiating till after the election." Well, today, on Fox News, Trump said by telephone, stimulus negotiations are happening, including a package to help airlines avoid furloughing some 30,000 workers.
We're talking about airlines, and we're talking about a bigger deal than airlines. We're talking about a deal with $1,200 per person. We're talking about other things.
$1,200 stimulus checks. This piece-by-piece approach to stimulus does not appear to address federal aid for cash-strapped state and local governments, which Democrats want as part of a more comprehensive plan. There is news this morning of more layoffs as measured by the number of people who signed up for unemployment benefits in the last week. That's essentially the same as the week earlier, with 11 million people already drawing unemployment. We need to talk to Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Greetings.
Good morning.
So it's about the same this week as last week by my reading on this, and that's not a good place to be.
No, it isn't. What we're seeing is this persistence of these elevated initial unemployment claims, which just is sort of startling to think, one, at the magnitude of the kinds of numbers, even over a million or half that week in and week out. I couldn't have imagined that we would still be here in this kind of place with the hole that we've dug from COVID so deep and still seeing such extraordinary pain. What's also important about these initial unemployment claims is that long-term unemployment insurance is now beginning to run out. We know from the September employment report, long-term unemployed picked up. And, you know, the number of people that were over 27 weeks unemployed picked up. And that's very important because now they have to switch over to the pandemic unemployment insurance that was provided in the CARES Act, of course, without the supplements from an aid package. And that's important because they have to now reapply for that. And that ends at the end of this year. So we really are seeing the pain associated with COVID for the millions upon millions that are still unemployed starting to really compound out there.
But President Trump was just on Fox saying that the stimulus talks have restarted after he stopped them 2 days ago. So there could be that shot in the arm if he's right.
I can only hope, but I've sort of turned blue holding my breath on stimulus and aid for the U.S. economy, which is sad because for me, that just means turning blue. For others, that means that they're not going with money for the basics of food and shelter.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton, thank you.
Thank you.
Among the contrasting views between Senator Kamala Harris and Vice President Mike Pence in the vice presidential debate last night, climate change and the economic effects of addressing that, here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
Vice President Mike Pence was asked about the threat of climate change last night. He gave debate moderator Susan Page a vague answer.
As I said, Susan, the climate is changing. We'll follow the science.
Pence then pivoted, claiming that Joe Biden would ban fracking if elected president. That is not true. Senator Kamala Harris was then vague about what legislation she and Biden would propose to address climate change. And then she pivoted, saying a Biden administration would create jobs as part of its climate change strategy.
Part of those jobs that will be created by Joe Biden are going to be about clean energy and renewable energy.
Harris also said a Biden administration would reenter the Paris Agreement on climate change. President Trump withdrew the U.S. from the accord. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The biggest of banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, has just announced it'll allocate $30 billion over the next 5 years to help address economic disparities due to racism and systemic inequality. While there is some philanthropy as part of this, most is lending, with an expected return for the bank. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us here live. How will these tens of billions break down?
Right. It'll be in the form of better access to capital and financing and just banking in general, David, for Black and Latino customers, things like home loans, capital for affordable housing projects, small business loans. And yes, Chase says it's incorporating change into the way it does business. So this is not just charity. They do expect to make money from this. The biggest chunk of their commitment is $14 billion in loans and investments to expand affordable rental housing in underserved communities, and another $8 billion to help Black and Latino people gain access to mortgages to purchase homes.
You know, there's this very long history of banks discriminating in their lending. I remember the Federal Reserve study showing controlling for risk. Banks gave a harder time to minorities applying for business loans. How far might this go to address long-standing wrongs?
That's right, David. And just 3 years ago, J.P. Morgan Chase paid $55 million to settle allegations that independent brokers it used had charged Black and Latino people higher mortgage rates in the mid to late 2000s. And let's keep in mind, of course, that the bank has $3.2 trillion in assets. So is $30 billion enough? The bank did circulate statements of support from various philanthropic leaders. One stood out to me, this from Michael McAfee. He's the head of Policy Link, a think tank focused on racial and economic equity. He says Chase is beginning the journey, as he put it, to address inequality.
All right, Nova, thank you. And Dollar General is going to open up a new chain for more affluent customers. Dollar General. No, they're going to call the brand Pop Shelf. Still pretty cheap with lots in the $5 range, often stuff you don't wake up in the morning thinking you want. But there it is. Treat yourself. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.